We started yesterday with the Kal V'chomer. And today also we'll first review the Kal V'chomer and then we'll try to see it inside. The Iser Achila in the case of Bas V'cholav is going to be derived from one pasuk in the Iser Anah from a Kal V'chomer. And that's the way the Gemara is going to build it. And the Iser Achila, says Iser ben Yehuda, is derived from Gzeirah Shava, because it says in the parasha of Los Vasha, Gediba Chalevim, it says, Ki Am Kadosh Hatal Hashem Olkech, is the word Kadosh. And with regard to the Iser Treifa, the Torah says, Anche Kodesh Tiyumli. So we have Gzeirah Shavah from Treifa to Basar V'Cholav. That's going to teach you that just like Treifa is Asur B'Achila, so to Basar V'Cholav is Asur B'Achila. Now Iser Ben Yehuda asks, how do we derive Iser Hanah and Basar V'Cholav? And he derives it from a Kal V'Chomer from Orla. Why is Basar V'Cholav more Chomer than Orla? Because Orla is lo nevda ba'avera, Orla grows naturally, whereas Basar V'Cholav is nevda ba'avera. And now the Gemara has a pirch on that Kal V'Chomer, because we have a chumra in Orla that we don't have in Basar V'Cholav, and that is lo hoysa lo shasa kosher. So Orla was asur from the get-go, from the time it came into existence, whereas Basar V'Cholav became also as a result of Bishul at one particular moment in time. So the Gemara now is looking for a possibility of deriving the Iser Hanah from something which was not also from the get-go and lo nevda ba'avera, and that's going to be Chametz B'Pesach, because Chametz B'Pesach, like Orla, is lo nevda ba'avera, but the pircha against Orla is that Orla never had a shasa kosher, and that's the chumra of Orla. So the Gemara quotes Chametz, because Chametz had a shasa kosher. Chametz was mutter the whole year round, and it only became asur on Pesach. So now the Gemara says, well, you can't derive Basar V'Cholav, Iser Hanah Basar V'Cholav, from Chametz, because even though they're very similar, both of them would fit into the description of lo hayolo shas hakosher. I'm sorry, of hayolo shas hakosher. And now we have the Kal V'Chomer because Chometz is lo nevda ba'avera, how much more so Basar V'Cholav, which is nevda ba'avera. But the problem is, what blocks us, what inhibits us from deriving any conclusions from Chometz, is because Chometz is an Iser Karis, and Basar V'Cholav is only an Iser Lav. So you cannot derive any conclusions. Maybe the Torah in Chometz, because the Torah was very machmir in Chometz and smacks you with an Iser Karis, therefore the Torah says that it's Asur Banah. But Basar V'Cholav, which is only an Iser Lav, so relatively speaking it's an Iser Kal, therefore you don't know that it's Asur Banah. And at this point in the sugya, we're at a crossroads. We're looking for a case of something which is similar to Basar V'Cholav, and it's only an Iser Lav. And that's going to lead us to Klai HaKerem. So let's see what we're up to in the Gemara. So we're now on Daf Kuf Tes Vav Amid Beis, and we're back to start the Gemara of Klai HaKerem Yochichu. So let's see where that is. If you see a Tosus on the right side of your page, Divra Maskel Choresh, and you climb up two lines before that, you'll see a line that starts with Malach Chametz, and that was the Gemara that rejected a Yalfusa to equate Basar V'Cholav, derive Basar V'Cholav from Pesach, from Chametz, because Chametz has a very great chumra that it's asur be'onash karis. So now we have Klai HaKerem Yochichu She'ein Onish Kares. the Asur Behana. The Pircha, that maybe the Torah was Machmir with an Iser Hana in Chametz because Chametz is an Iser Kares, that doesn't apply to Klei Kerem. Klei Kerem is also Hana, but there's no Onish Kares. It's a classic Lav, which generates Malkus, nothing more. So in that sense, we have a very strong resemblance between Klei Kerem and Basa B'Cholav. Now, I wouldn't suggest that Klei Kerem and Basa B'Cholav could give you a Kal V'Chomer, because we always said that the Chumrah of Basa B'Cholav was Nevda Ba'Avera, and the same Chumrah would apply to Klei Kerem, because the Torah says not only that the Klei Kerem themselves are also, but you're not allowed to plant Klei Kerem, so there's an Isa Zriya. So the Klei Kerem is also Nevda Ba'Avera. This would be perhaps a tzad hashav, not a kal v'chomer. I mean, we'll see as we go along that there are differences between kal v'chomer and tzad hashav. But you could have a tzad hashav from Klei Kerem to Basa B'Cholav, meaning in both cases you have an isolav without kares. In both cases you have nevda ba'avera. Oh, but let's ask the following question. Oh, excellent. What would you say about Klei Kerem in terms of Hoysa Olo, Hoysa Lo Shasa Kosher? Meaning, we rejected the Kal V'Chomer from Orla because Orla had a Chumrah of Lo Hoysa Lo Shasa Kosher. Would we reject a Limud from Klei Kerem for the very same reason of Lo Hoysa Lo Shasa Kosher? So let me sort of delay that question for a moment. We'll get right back to it, but let's again put it on the scoreboard here. We want to know how to define Klei Kerem, whether it's Hoysel Hashasa Kosher or Lo Hoysel Hashasa Kosher. But again, that's up on the board. We'll come right back to it. But first, let's talk about Basa B'Chol. The Gemara says that Basa B'Chol of Hoysel Hashasa Kosher. So let's try to think what that means. Rashi seems to assume that Hoysel Hashasa Kosher in the case of Basa B'Cholav means that the Basa itself was Mutter, the Cholav itself was Mutter, and the combination thereof generates an Isur. So what we're looking at when we look at Basa B'Cholav, we can take it apart break it down to its component parts and say that each one of those parts had a shasa kosher. And when we look at Basa B'Cholav, we're going to imagine turning back the clock to the moment before you created Basa B'Cholav, when the Basa was alone, the Cholav was alone, and they were both mutter. And that's the way Rashi seems to learn Hoysel Shasa Kosher. Now, this Gemara appears in Masechta Pesachim. And Rabbeinu Gershon in Masechta Pesachim, and Rashi there in Pesachim makes a big deal about this, Rabbeinu Gershon, he has a different take on Hoysel Shasa Kosher and Basa B'Cholav. And he says the following, that from the moment that you mix Basa B'Cholav together, that's called Hoysel Hashasa Kosher. In other words, Rabbeinu Gershon is not willing to go back all the way to the time, the moment where there was Basar alone and there was Cholav alone. That's not called Hoysel Hashasa Kosher. Why? So Rashi is going to explain Rabbeinu Gershon, and then he's going to disagree with Rabbeinu Gershon. But let's try to understand what bothers Rabbeinu Gershon's mind. Rabbeinu Gershon thinks that you can't call something Hoysel Hashasa Kosher before it exists in the world. Meaning, we have to talk about the Shem Iser. The Shem Iser of Basa B'Cholav is when you have a combination of Basa B'Cholav. Once you have, if you turn back the clock to Basa L'Chud and Cholav L'Chud, that's not Hoysel Hashasa Kosher, because that's not Basa B'Cholav. So Rabbeinu Gershon's premise is that Hoysel Hashasa Kosher is only after you have Basa B'Cholav. And here's where Rashi fights tooth and nail against Rabbeinu Gershom. He says, what's Rabbeinu Gershom talking about? You put the bus and the chol together before you turn on the fire. You haven't cooked it yet. And that's called Hoysel Hashas HaKosher. Why? Because you have a mitzvah of basa together with chol. That's not what the Torah prohibited. The Torah prohibited basa and chol that was cooked together. Not basa and chol that was thrown into a pot together, but you haven't even turned on the fire yet. If anything, it's sown in. You know, you just rinse basa and chol together. You have a piece of cheese and a piece of meat. That's not basa and chol. So Rashi Lushitaso says that Hoysel Hashas HaKosher means that these two elements were once mutter in and of themselves when they were separate one from the other. So Rashi doesn't have any problem. But if you accept Rabbeinu Gershom, then Hoysel Hashas HaKosher means after it became boss of a cholov, and you can only apply the logic of Hoysel Hashas HaKosher after it became Asur, meaning you have everything, all the ingredients that would generate the Issa, but yet the Torah was matir. That's called Hoysel Hashas HaKosher. So you have like a history sheet here of Issa, and the Torah says it's mutter at some point in time. That's called Hoysel Hashas HaKosher. Says Rashi, if that's the point, then Rabbeinu Gershom did not solve his problem. Why? Because you don't have a long list of time periods in which there should be an Issa, but there's a heter. Because in the case where he put the bas v'chol together in one pot, but he hasn't yet cooked them together, that's not bas v'chol at all. For all intents and purposes, that's bas l'chud and chol of l'chud. So again, I'm not here to defend Rabbeinu Gershom, but I would just say that Rabbeinu Gershom's hoysel hashas hakosher, it's sufficient if you have what you call taromis ta'amim. In other words, when you put the milk and the meat together, then there's going to be some element of taromis ta'am. The meat in the cheese, again, only through tzonin. You know, it's not a real blia. And it wouldn't be the same as bishul, obviously, because you know the taromis ta'am of bas v'chol in bishul is much more profound. It becomes one entity. But nevertheless, according to Rabbeinu Gershom, there is some, shall we say, fledgling Tarovis Tam, even before you turn on the fire. And that already gives you a reality, a scenario of Basa Mecholov that you can call Basa Mecholov, and yet the Torah was Matir. So that's called Hoysel Hashas HaKosher. What I'd like to submit to you, and again this requires a lot of thinking, is that Klaya Kerem, according to Rabbeinu Gershom, would be Lo Hoysel Hashas HaKosher. What I mean is the following. That in Klei Kerem, you put in two Zroim into the karka. One is, let's say, a chita, the other is a kerem, is a vine. So you put the chita into the karka in close proximity to a vine. That's not Klei Kerem. That reminds us a little bit of Klei Zroim, but it's certainly not Klei Kerem. In other words, your zera together with the kerem are two different entities. You can't call that clay kerem. Rabbeinu Gershom is willing to go as far, and he goes out on a limb here to say that when you put cholov and basa together, there's some, even before bishul, there's some minimum element of give and take over here, of tarovis tam, and therefore you could call it basa b'cholov. It's exactly what you're looking at, just minus bishul, is basa b'cholov, yet it's mutter. That's called hoysel hashas hakosher, and that's a kula in basa b'cholov. And yesterday we had a whole discussion why that's called a kula. In the case of klaya kerem, I would say the same thing. I could have said the same thing. You could have argued that maybe even before they grow together, and there's this mixture called Klei Kerem, that you've already set them up together. But I would say that Rabbeinu Gershom would insist that that's called Lo Hoysel Hashas HaKosher, meaning that Klei Kerem from the get-go is awesome. There's no moment of heter, because if you look at the long history of what's it called when the doctors have this, you know, this, you know, the history, what's called medical charts or medical history. So if you look at the history of Klai Kerem, the birth of Klai Kerem begins when they grow together. Again, you have to learn Masechta Kalayim to know exactly how much growth is considered enough to generate an Iser of Klai Kerem, but up until that moment, it's just Zera, it's just Roya. And the reason I emphasize this is because I think it answers a great question here in our sugya. The Gemara says that we're going to use Klai HaKerem to plug up the original Kal V'Chomer. What do I mean? There's a gaping hole in the Kal V'Chomer from Orla, because Orla has a Chumra that Lo Haysala Shasa Kosher. We tried to plug that up with Chametz, because Chametz had a Shasa Kosher. But the problem with Chametz was that it was also Banor. So at that point, we introduced Klai HaKerem, because Klai HaKerem is a regular Isur Lav, and it fits into the category of Basar B'Chalav. But now you might ask the question, well, how is the Gemara operating here? Is the Gemara operating with Klai HaKerem to reject the Pircha that we had from Chametz and allow us now to derive Basar B'Chalav from Chametz plus Arla? Right? Because again, let's go over this. Both Arla and Chametz have an Iser Hanah. However, Arla has a Chumrah in that Lo Haysala Shasa Kosher. Chametz has a Chumrah in that it's Osir Hanah. Each Chumrah is different than the other. So Chametz will prove to us that Lo Haysala Shasa Kosher is not a reason to generate an Iser Hanah, because in Chametz, Lo Haysala, in Chametz, it was Haysala Shasa Kosher, and yet it's Osir Hanah. So in other words, Chametz tells me, don't tell me that the reason why Arla is Osir Hanah is because Arla was Lo Haysala Shasa Kosher. I'll prove to you from Chametz that there's an Iser Hanah even if there was a Shasa Kosher. Oh, I can't prove anything from Chametz because Chametz is Osir Hanah. I'm sorry. I can't prove anything from Chametz. Just want to see if you're awake. Right? I can't prove anything from Chametz because Chametz is an Iser Kares. I'll prove it from Arla. Oh, so now the Gemara has a problem. That Arla can't prove anything, so let's plug in Klai HaKerem, because Klai HaKerem is an Iser Lav, and it's not an Iser Kares. So I thought that maybe the Gemara is learning Basar B'Chalav, deriving it straight directly from Klai HaKerem, and we don't have to pass go and collect 200. Why? Because Klai HaKerem is an Iser Lav, and Klai HaKerem is Osir Hanah, so therefore Basar B'Chalav should likewise be Osir Hanah. Oh, but now you're going to tell me the following. That, wait a second, let's analyze this. In the case of Chametz, we said that Chametz has a certain kula, and that kula was that Haysala Shasa Kosher. Says Rav Eda Gershon, from the moment you put together Basar B'Chalav, it's mutter, because you haven't yet cooked it. Can we apply the same logic to Klai HaKerem, and then we can derive Basar B'Chalav from Klai HaKerem in a Tzara Shava by just simply equating the two? I don't even need a Kal V'Chomer. But the answer is because I think Klai HaKerem is considered Lo Haysala Shasa Kosher, because from the moment it became and emerged as Klai HaKerem, it was awesome. There was never a moment in its medical history where it was mutter. That's what I think could possibly be the answer to this question.
That would explain why the other cases of Shabbos and Klayim and things like that also aren't even mentioned here. Because they don't get the ground level, they don't have a Shabbos.
Well, the reason, I'll tell you, if you're asking about Shabbos, the reason why Shabbos is mentioned as Sukh is because Shabbos is Mutar Banor. Again, we must, our whole goal here, let's not lose the forest from the trees, is to establish a Basar B'Chalav as Osir Hanah. So anything you quote has to fit into Isuri Hanah. There aren't that many on the list, by the way. You know, Isuri Achila abound by left, right, and center, but Isuri Hanah are very limited. You have Arla, you have Klai HaKerem, you have Chametz B'Pesach, and then Basar B'Chalav, if we ever succeed in deriving it. But there aren't too many. I don't know of any others. Maybe I'm missing something. I think Yayim to Nazir is Mutabana, Chalish is Mutabana, even though it's also Bachila, Nevela, Trefa, all these are Mutabana. Now, let's take a look at Rashi, Dibra Maskel Kloya Kerem Yochiach, because Rashi asks not one, but two kashas. But he tells us to be very patient about these two kashas. He says, Lekamon, Lekamon Parich, the Gemara is going to ask later, so hold your horses, he says, Lomali Kloya Kerem, why do I bechlal need Kloya Kerem? Neima Orla Tochiach, right? What was your pircha from Chomets? That Chomets is also Vanna. Well, Kloya Kerem is Mutter Vanna. And Orl is Mutter. Well, I'm sorry. Let me start that again. What was your pircha from Chametz? Because Chametz is Chayiv Kares. Orl is only a lav. There's no Chayiv Kares in Orl. So I don't even have to step out of the box over here. And if you'll tell me that Orl has a chumra, that it's hoysa, lo hoysa lo shasa kosher, well, Chametz is hoysa lo shasa kosher. So the Gemara is going to ask, why do we need Kliya Kerem over here? Why do you have to go out of the box? We started with Orl. We had a pircha on Orla, but we rejected that pircha by introducing chametz. We have a pircha on chametz, but we reject that pircha with Orla, and that's called the tzad hashav. Why do you need Kliya Kerem here? The oh, there's another kasha that we have to ask here. Parich, the Gemara is going to ask later on. Nema malik Kliya Kerem shekain lo haisolem shasa kosher. Now, I understand that lo haisalem shasa kosher and Kloya Kerem means that from the moment that Kloya Kerem emerged as a chefza di surah with the shavis of Kloya Kerem, it's also, there's no moment of heter in its history. So I think this Rashi maybe would support what we suggested. Then you have Tosis, Dibra Maskel Kloya Kerem. And Tosis says the following. About halfway through, Hiksha Rav Rabbi Yaakov Mir Leinish, okay, he's a Frenchman, he says, My lekulu shekein lo hutru mechlolan, tomar bebosa v'chotav shehutu mechlolay tzu behemet tmeya, v'chalav behemet tmeya, v'tuva. So he repeats himself twice, but it's not a repetition at all. The first thing about Behemet Tmei is talking about the basar, that the basar itself that you cooked with milk was from a non-kosher species of an animal. The second Behemet Tmei is from the chol of the milk of the Behemet Tmei. So you cook the milk of a camel or the milk of a swine, you cook with the meat of a kosher animal. Both of those are excluded. And that, says Tosus, is called Hutter Mechlola. Whoa. Hutter Mechlola, Rabosai, is a sugya. I mean, it's really, really complicated. But let's just touch on the super, on the surface level of what Hutter Mechlola means. Hutter Mechlola means that when the Torah has an Iser, and I should logically apply that Iser in many, many different situations and in many cases, and the Torah limits it and says, in this case, it's Mutter. So that's called Hutu Mechlolo. I give the mashal, I don't know if this means anything to you, such as Dog Fetishkach. If you had a balloon and you just punctured a little hole in the balloon now becomes very weak and it's going to take a matter of seconds or minutes until it finally completely gets rid of all its air. That's called Hutu Mechlolo. The classic case of Hutu Mechlolo, not for us now, I'm just mentioning it, is what's called Chadash. Now, when I say Chadash, what I mean is Chadash l'mizbeach. Why? Because the original Iser Chadash applies to both Achilas Hedjot and Achilas Mizbeach. But that's only until the Omer is brought. Once the Omer is brought, that Iser Chadash is now weakened. And lehejot it becomes mutter, though it still remains asur l'mizbeach. The Gemara calls that hutter mechlola. In other words, the original iser of chadash would apply both for achilas adam and for achilas mizbeach. The Torah at one point in time removes the iser achilas hejot, and it becomes mutter lehejot, but it remains asur l'mizbeach. So that period of time between the omer and the shtei lechem, which is brought in Chag HaShavuos, that's called hutter mechlola. So Tosfos says that if you look at basar b'chalav, basar b'chalav should apply biologically to any basar and any chalav. And yet the Torah excludes certain categories of basar and certain categories of chalav. So therefore, if you're going to derive basar and chalav from any of the above, I'll give you orla, I'll give you chametz, I'll give you klaya kerem, none of the above have huter mechlala. So there's a kula, what I call a diffused iser with regard to basar v'chalav, in that the Torah limited basar v'chalav only to ebeim tehora, with chalav of ebeim tehora. That's called huta mechlol. So Tosas answers, no, that's not called huta mechlol. Yeshlomo de ein ze kari huta mechlol. Why? The dafka chalav, the chsiv kol. Just 1 second. Okay, he's talking about something else. I gave you the example before of the Iser Chadash. He's working with a different example, which is the Iser Chelev. The Torah says, "Kol Chelev lo so chelu," and that would include everything. That would include Chelev of Behema and Chelev of Achaya. But then the Torah went out of its way to be Matir, the Chelev of Achaya. And a chelev is only also in a chelev of behema. I don't know if you remember this, we once had an occasion to discuss this. That's called huta mechlola. So what you have is a pasuk that expands the parameters of an iser, in this case chelev, to be all-inclusive, and then the Torah takes something out of the bag and says it's muta. So because the Torah starts with kol chelev, it means even a chaya should have an iser chelev, and then the Torah was matir, chaya, in the case of Chelev, in the case of Chaya, and that's called Huta Mechlol. But he says Basar Mechlol is not like that. A Basar Mechlol of Lo Ksiv Kol. The Torah never says Kol Basar. It doesn't say Lo Savashal Kol Gdi Bechalev Kol Imo. So in the absence of the word Kol, we have to decide what's Kol and what's Gdi, and then we decide what's Basar and what's Kol. But that's not called Huta Mechlol. I think my case was also very good because the Torah prohibits chadash both to achilas adam and achilas mizbeach, but only to a certain point. And there's a point in time after which the Torah removes half of that isur chadash and allows for the other half of the isur chadash to continue. So certainly, hedjot was included in the original isur chadash. Okay, fine. That's what we have in Tosas. Okay, now the plot grows thicker. So we have now the following. We have, at this point, a Kavah Chomer from Orla. We have a Pircha on that Kavah Chomer because Lo Hoysa L'Shas HaKosha. Then we introduce Chametz B'Pesach. And once we introduce Chametz B'Pesach, we no longer have a Chumra of Shalo Hoysa L'Shas HaKosha. We have a Chumra and a Pircha of Kares, and that pircha will be removed by Klei Kerem, which is also by Noah, even though it's a general law without Kares. So now the Gemara says, well, you've convinced me that we can derive the Iser HaNoah and Basar B'Chalav from there, all these combinations, and we don't know why we need all three. That's what Rashi points out. Is Lomali Gzeira Shava? Isi Ben Yehuda began his presentation by saying that the Iser HaChilav in Basar B'Chalav is derived from Kodesh Kodesh, from Trefa. Is Leisei Kula, why not prove everything B'Kal V'Chomer Mi'Arl? In other words, Arl is also Asa B'Chila. Why do you have to introduce Trefa in order to derive an Isra Achila Basar B'Chalav? Derive the Isra Achila from Arl. And to the same extent you derive an Isra Anah from Arla, why not derive the Isra Achila? Derive the entire package from Arla. Uma Arla shalo nevdo ba vera sura bein ba achila bein ba anah basa b'cholav she nevdo ba vera enodin she hei asu, right? Bein ba achila bein ba anah. Now again, you'll go through all the pirchas on this kavachomer, but you'll end up with some sort of a kavachomer because you're going to reject all the pirchas by combining bas arla with chametz and with kol hakerem, whatever the spiel is. But bottom line is, you're going to derive not just an iser achila. I'm sorry, not just an iser hanah, excellent, but also an iser achila. So what do we need? This first step of treifa. So if I would reformulate this question of the Gemara in my own language, I would say the following. We don't know that basa b'chalav is asa b'achila, and certainly we don't know it's asa b'anah. The Talmud says it's asa b'bishul. So now you're going to bring me a whole slew of cases where the Torah says it's asa b'achila and asa b'anah, and you can derive from those cases, those isurim, that basa b'chalav is asa b'achila b'anah. But wait a minute, the Torah says that basa b'chalav is asa b'bishul. How do I know it's asa b'achila b'anah? And the answer is because of nevda b'avera. So this whole Gemara that we're learning now stands on what I call the foot of a chicken. You know, say it all comes down to nevda b'avera. It's very reminiscent to the sugi that we learned last week of Kol Toev of Rav Ashi, that since nevda b'avera, therefore it should be also. And then the Kal V'chomer is, I'll give you a whole list of Isuri Achil, Isuri Anah, where there was not nevda b'avera. For example, Arla, which exists in nature, Chometz with the passage of time. And it's low nevda b'avera. And yet the Torah says it's also b'achil and also b'anah. It's Kal V'chomer. Basa b'chalav, where it's nevda b'avera, it certainly should be asa b'achila b'anah. That seems to be the logic of the Gemara. I mean, if you don't accept the svara of nevda b'avera in basa b'chalav, then this whole Gemara, you know, you'd have to cut it out. Of course, the Rambam would say, but what about the other Gemara that's on the other side? Oyla Rasha, Oyla Shchein. I don't know if you remember the famous statement of the Rambam. Oh. So the Gemara wants to know the following. Let's take a search, you know, a scan, and think to ourselves, is there any other case in the Torah which is nevda b'avera, and yet the Torah says it's mutar b'achila? If we can come up with that case, then all of your kal v'chomers with arla and chametz are not going to help you. And that's what the Gemara came up with. Mishum de'ikal of Meimar, Choresh Bishar Ubechamar. Right, the Torah says Altachrosh Bishar Bechamar Yachtov. So he did a Harisha with Shar Bechamar. Or Chosin Pipara Vidosh, the Torah says Losasam Shar Bidisho. So he does a plowing with a cow that was muzzled. Yochiach, let's prove from there. Here it's Hare Nevda Bavera, because you aren't allowed to do the Harisha or the Disho. Visharo, and yet the Torah says it's mutter. Meaning, if you produce a daish as a result of the chasimas para, or if you produce zroim that grew in this sod as a result of the harisha of shor v'chamor, these products are product of an avera, no less than basa b'chalav is a product of bishol, which is an avera. And yet the Torah says that it's mutter.
It's not really true, though.
Why not?
Because I mean, the case of chasima, the shor is para is obviously a different kind of thing, because that's about the para. It's not about the
daish.
The daish.
Right.
I probably could do the same thing for the harisha also. It's not harisha is in the ground. It's not the seeds even. Right.
Right. So, you're 100% right. And if you recall, I mean, those who are with me, Rashi made the big deal about this back in the sugya of Rav Ashi. That Rav Ashi said, lo tochlu kol toeva, that you can't eat basa b'chalav because it's a toeva. Why is it toeva? Because the Torah didn't want you to create basa b'chalav. So the Gemara slugs it up and says, well, what about choresh b'shar b'chamor or chosim p'para? So Rashi points out already back there that the Gemara didn't really mean to equate choresh b'shar b'chamor or chosim p'para with basa b'chalav. What the Gemara meant to say is that it should be similar to Maisa Shabbos. And therefore the Gemara rejects it completely, because if Maisa Shabbos is mutter on a Doraisa level, then how much more so when you're not dealing with an Issa Skila? So there are various differences here, and you're making a very good point.
One question, does the Torah specifically say that Achila and Hanab are mutter in these cases? Or it doesn't say anything.
Right, right. The absence of this. You mean, so you're asking, kol ze achnis b'kalva chomer.
Yeah, why can't we include them too in the kalva
chomer? Right. So it could be, I don't know if there's an answer to your question based on any drushes, but this seems to be like an elementary assumption in the Gemara. The premise is that in the case of Chosev or Choresh, there's no Isur. Okay, now one second here. Yeah.
One other question, sorry. Are we still learning, is this now going on the presumption that you could just from one statement of Lotvashel Gadib Chalavimo, we could learn all of this through a Kal Vachomer? Or is it still relying on the fact that there are three statements? And so therefore we're still adding, we're still...
No, we don't. Issi ben Yehuda is totally ignorant. He's totally unaware of the three, which was the Beirav Yishmael, if I remember correctly.
All right, okay.
Okay. Just want to see.
No. Right, we said yesterday that he doesn't want to use the three in this because in the other place where the Torah repeats the same love.
Right.
And it doesn't have extra implications.
Right. It's just Vuria of Mishnei Lav.
Right.
So let's go back to the drawing board. So at this point to the Gemara is presenting the following thesis. We must, Issi ben Yud has no choice, he must introduce a Gzeres Shava between Trefa and Basa B'Cholav in order to derive an Isra Achila and Basa B'Cholav. So the Nevda B'Avera per se would not be enough to derive an Isra Achila unless you have the Gzeres Shava of Trefa, of Kodesh Kodesh. Now you have an Isra Achila, what about an Isra Anah? And here's where Nevda B'Avera could be meaningful. What do I mean? That you'll ask me, well, you're deriving the Isra Achila from Trefa. The Torah says the Trefa is Mutar Banah. So how can you tell me now that Basa B'Cholav is also Banah? But the answer is that Basa B'Cholav has an extra element of Nevda B'Avera. So again, if I was starting from scratch, if I was trying to derive the Isra Achila based on Nevda B'Avera, that I can't do because I have this Pircha from other cases of Nevda B'Avera. But once I've already derived an Isra Achila, those other cases become irrelevant. Why? Because in Chosen Pipara or Charisha B'Shar V'Chamar Yachtav, there's no Isra Achila at all. So now if we want to compare apples with apples, what we're going to have to do is we're going to have to introduce other Isra Achila and ask ourselves, do they have an additional Isra Hana? And then we're going to introduce the concept of Nevda B'Avera in the case of Basa B'Cholav. And we're going to say that Basa B'Cholav has in common with Arla and Chametz that they're all Asa B'Achila. And now we're going to go one step further. We're going to introduce another element, another piece of the puzzle into this whole puzzle. And that is that Basa B'Cholav is also even B'Anah. Why? Because Arla and Chametz are Asa B'Anah. And you'll ask me, but how could I derive from those? Maybe the Torah is more machmir than name. There's more of a reason to be machmir in the case of Basa B'Cholav because of Nevda B'Avera. So again, if you didn't have the Isra Achilas established through the Gzeres Shavah to Trefa, then you wouldn't be able to introduce Nevda B'Avera. But once you've already thrown Basa B'Cholav into the membership group of the Isra Achila, now within that membership group, I can add that element into the equation of Nevda B'Avera, and I could say that if the others are Asur in whatever scope that Isur includes, how much more so Basa B'Cholav is going to be Asur because of Nevda B'Avera, something that's missing, that's lacking in the cases of Arla and Kloyak and Chametz B'Pesach. So if Arla and Chametz B'Pesach are Asur B'Achila, then how much, that are Asa B'Achila are also Asa what? B'Anah. Then how much more so Basa B'Chol, which is Asa B'Achila, and has the additional Chumra of Nevda B'Avera, should certainly be Asa B'Anah. That seems to be where we're holding in this Sugya. So the Gemara now asks the question that Rashi hinted before. Lama li lemeimar kloya kerem yochichu. Why did you have to introduce Kloya Kerem? Forget about Kloya Kerem. Your problem with Chametz was that it was Kares. is lema orla tochiyah. We've already established an isra anon in the case of orla, despite the fact that it's an isra lav with an onesh malchus without any chiyuv karetz. And then you'll ask me, but I can't derive anything from orla because orla is lohoisa lashasa kosher, is leheder dinam. So I'll go back to chametz. And I'll prove to you from chametz that even though, even in the case of hoisa lashasa kosher, nevertheless it's also anon. And the Gemara thinks that possible cholov is hoysel ashasa kosher. Again, we had a whole discussion why that is with Rabbeinu Gershon and Rashi. I mean, that's a whole profound sugya. So it's the fact the Gemara v'leisei v'me'atzad. Why do you have to introduce klei akerem? Klei akerem seems to be a foreign, unnecessary element. Meaning, whenever you could derive a conclusion from two sources, it's totally redundant and superfluous to introduce a third source. So why did Isa ben Yehuda insist that he has to introduce Klei HaKerem into this equation? And now what we're going to have here is a back and forth between Rav Ashi and Rav Mordechai. Amar Rav Ashi, if you only had a Bameh Atzad between based on Orl and Chametz, then I have a Pircha on Orl and Chametz. Why? Mishum de'ikale meimar nevela tochiach sharei asura b'achila umuteres be'ano. So again, why does Isi ben Yehuda have to introduce this third element into the equation, into the triangle, we'll call it, of klei akerem? Because if I only have these two elements of Orla and Chametz bePesach, then I could say, well, what are you telling me? You're telling me that when you know the Torah asks them b'achila, and now we're going to add an Iser Hanah in both cases of Orla and Chametz, and therefore, if the Torah prohibits bas b'chol b'achila, it should likewise be asur b'hanah. But what about nevela? Here's a case of an Iser achila. And yet the Torah told me that it's mutar b'hanah. So I need a case of something that is both asur b'achila and asur b'hanah. So it's not clear to me at this point what the Gemara's point is over here. What is the Gemara gaining here by introducing klei akerem? The Gemara has some sort of a pircha, which I'm not sure I understand that pircha, from the Vela, and the solution to that pircha is somehow klei akerem. So what is this all about? So let me read to you go ahead, please.
If I understand that the problem is that if you just use Orla and Chametz, then you're too strong. You prove almost anything. Anything that has an Isur Achila is going to have an Isur Hana on that basis. So that's too much. So it needs something to back in again, pull it back in the circle.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. In other words, I thought that you would still end up with the Kavah Chomer because Bas V'Cholav is Nevda Ba'Avera. I don't know why Nevela should be relevant to this discussion.
And Nevela specifically, I mean, the Torah specifically says you can benefit from it. There's a specific permission because you're allowed to, you're allowed to sell it to a girl, you're allowed to give it to the dog, so it's not...
Well, is that
there? So there
has that help me understand
the Torah? So you can say, well, that one doesn't count, really.
No, that's the problem in a certain sense. Is that why shouldn't it be? Then there's something wrong in our logic if it should have been permitted by the logic that we have, and yet the Torah says it's no good. The trouble is that
that's exception.
That neither Orla nor Chametz have a Nevda Ba'Avera, right? And so you don't have to have the Nevda Ba'Avera anymore in order to make it Asur B'Hanah. That's why the Nevela should have been in that category. It was low Nevda Ba'Avera. It's also not had no Avera.
Let me just, I apologize just because I see we're running out of time. I just want to read to you a few lines here in a footnote in the Masifta. he's quoting the Marsha, but it doesn't matter who he's quoting. Let's see if we can understand what he's saying. He says, "Lachem lomda habraisa gam mikloya kerem shemitoch kach I efshalo chiyach minevela shimuteres bahano." So now we need to introduce Kloya Kerem into the picture, because that's going to reject the equation, the analogy to Nevela. Right? What was the analogy to Nevela? Nevela is Mutar Bahano. Hence, Bas B'chol should be Mutar Bahano. That seems to be the general Begadol, the logic of the Gemara. But now I'm going to reject that by introducing Kloya Kerem. What do you gain by introducing Kloya Kerem? He says, "Sharei binevela lo nasta ba'avera v'itochen shemitav zeh hibuteres ba'ano ma she'enki b'bosu b'chol shenesta ba'avera v'chein b'kloya kerem shenesta ba'avera v'asurim ba'ano." So again, I can't tell you that I understand this marsha completely, because I don't know what happened to the Gzeres Shavah. I'm sorry, to the Kalachomer from Ola with the Tzadis Shavah to Chametz. I can't answer right now. But what I can answer is that if we're talking about a direct equation to something that's very similar to Basu B'Cholov, and Gemara's objection was that Nevela is very similar to Basu B'Cholov, and Nevela is Mutar Bahano, so then I would turn around and I would say to you, well, Bas B'Cholov is not similar to Nevela because Bas B'Cholov is Nesta Ba'Avera. But I still don't get to the point that Nesta Ba'Avera should generate an Isra Hano. Do you follow what I'm saying? In other words, if I'm just trying to reject the analogy to Nevela, And say that, well, you know what, Nevela doesn't prove that something that's Osir B'Achila is Mutar B'Ano, because that analogy to Bas B'Cholov is not fair, because Bas B'Cholov is Nevda B'Avera. So that leads me to the point where there's a possibility that Bas B'Cholov could be Osir B'Ano. But we haven't yet proven that Bas B'Cholov is Osir B'Ano. What element now, what variable do we have to introduce to the equation to prove that Bas B'Cholov, because it's Nevda B'Avera, should therefore be also B'Ano? Kloya Kerem. That's Kloya Kerem. So again, Rabosa, we're halfway there. I'm not telling you that we're swinging by second base. We're not yet at home plate. I don't know why at this point in the Gemara, I'm going to need another day on this, it's very profound. The Gemara for somehow is shelving the Kal V'Chomer from Arla plus Chometz, if you follow me, what we call the Tzadis Shavah. And we'll try to understand why tomorrow. But at this point in the Gemara, if we were to shelve that, then what the Gemara is suggesting is, well, let's do a fair equation now between the Veil and Bas B'Cholov, because you have no other source right now. You don't have this Kal V'Chomer. So that would lead me to the conclusion that Bas B'Cholov should certainly be Mutar B'Ano. But the Gemara is slugging that up by saying, well, Bas B'Cholov might be a candidate for an Isra Hano because it goes beyond the Vela, because it also has the element of what? Of Nevda Ba'Avera. So the Gemara says now, well, is there a source somewhere in the Torah that Nevda Ba'Avera should take you, upgrade you from an Isra Achila to the level of an Isra Hano? And that's where Kliya Kerem comes in. So that's the only thing I'm missing here in this puzzle. Yeah.
This site's Maram shift, it brings in a kind of slightly different discussion where it says that
what number is it? Oh, I have it in Hebrew, so it's probably a different number system.
Yeah, I don't know. It's 34 here, but yeah. Rav Ashi is he doesn't hold that two-sided, that you can't attack a Shavah that has two parts from outside. He says you have to have three parts to do it.
So that I think is going to come you know, in the next piece right. of Gemara. That's Reish Lakish, and when do you apply? You know, two
that's
parts,
what,
one
that,
part.
So this is kind of.
I'm trying to lead up to that step by step. Okay. All right, let me take this opportunity to wish everyone a great day, and let's make sure we the pot I know I put away, so now we're going to get to the point of a heating unit. Let's stop that. Somehow you have to try it.
But yeah, you have to turn it. This has to register that the thing that is on.
Oh. If anybody wants to do me a little bit of a favor, just to return this.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
Thanks so much. I'm just trying to save myself the hassle of bringing my masifta.